Last week, we began a study entitled The Destructive Nature of Pride. We noted then that our focus is on what the book of Proverbs primarily has to say about pride. And interestingly enough, there is nothing good that is said whatsoever. We began that lesson by noting a key verse found in Proverbs, Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So we see twice in that passage that pride is negatively spoken of, and that it is very dangerous, and that it is disastrous for an individual who possesses it. We noted too in that lesson that pride can destroy an individual. And we noted how that was done. We noted several individuals to whom that happened. And we were warning ourselves not to be lifted up with pride. We noted too that humility is what God desires in our lives. Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride shall bring him low. Again, notice the negative nature of pride. But honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Rather than the quality of pride, we need to do all that we can to dress ourselves, to clothe ourselves in humility. We're going to continue our lesson noticing two more evil things relative to pride. First, pride destroys relationships. What we mean by that here is this. Pride destroys our relationships with other individuals. Notice Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contentions. If there are contentions, if there are battles, if there is strife, if there is infighting among individuals, guess what the writer of Proverbs says is always behind that? Pride. By pride cometh contentions. Proverbs 28:25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. There are some individuals who love to fight. There are some individuals who love to stir up a stink. There are some individuals who love to create division, confusion, problems, and they just laugh about it. Folks, pride will not allow unity and happiness. And the reason for that is because pride will not allow a lot of other things to transpire. You see, pride will not allow an honest discussion of the issues that divide individuals. There are always going to be times when we have disagreements between ourselves. But the thing that needs to be done is we need to sit down and we need to deal with the issues, don't we? We need to be able to deal with the topics. We need to be able to deal with the problems themselves and nothing else. But you see, pride won't allow that. Pride also will not allow the words, I am sorry. Proud will not allow the words, I am wrong. Proud will not allow the words, I forgive you. Folks, aren't those things necessary for unity among individuals? Aren't those kind of words necessary for healing when there are problems? Aren't those the kind of words that will bring peace? But you see, an individual who is proud and arrogant, he won't say, I'm sorry. He won't say, I'm wrong. He won't even look at another and say, I forgive you. You see, pride likes to attack another's character. Rather than dealing with the issues, the individual wants to see something wrong with the individual and attacks that particular problem. Pride seeks to divide rather than heal. There are numerous examples to which we could go in Scripture that show how pride causes contentions among individuals. Let's look at just two of them. One of them involves none other than the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we read about it in Mark the 10th chapter 35 through 41. We find in the opening verses there a request made by two of the apostles. These individuals were brothers. They are known to us by the names James and John. They first come to Jesus and they ask Him, Lord, grant us all that we desire. And Jesus continues and asks, well, what is it that you desire? Here was their request. Grant that we may sit one at thy right hand and the other on the left hand when thou comest into thy kingdom. Question. What in the world would make two boys desire those positions? Pride. Lord, we've heard that you're going to establish a kingdom. We've heard that you're going to be the king of that kingdom. Come here, Lord. Come here. We want you to grant us right now, even before the kingdom is here, we want you to grant us this particular favor. You let me sit on your right hand and you let him sit on your left hand. Folks, those were positions of power, honor, prestige. Why would anybody desire that? Why would anybody want to be elevated to those particular positions? Folks, the reason is pride. We drop down to verse 41. We've got 10 other apostles, don't we? And I want you to listen to what transpires. And when the 10 heard it, folks, that's those 10 other apostles, they were what? They began to be very much displeased with James and John. Much displeased. Folks, these individuals had great affliction of heart because of the request these two men made. These individuals were indignant deep within because of the request that had been made. Perhaps it may have been that among the apostles, they all thought that they desired those positions. Maybe they were all arrogant and thought, you know, I want that job. And now here you've gone and requested it for yourself. Who are you to do that? Maybe they thought there were others that were more qualified to be there than James and John. Whatever it was, they were greatly displeased. Aren't we glad that the Lord was there that day? Because you see, the Lord calls the disciples to Him. And He teaches them a very, very important lesson in the context of this particular strife. He says, guys, you know that the Gentiles love rule and power and authority. And then He speaks these words to them. But it shall not be so among you. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your servant. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your minister. You see, Jesus is teaching what? Humility, isn't He? Why do you desire positions of power and authority just so you can rule over other individuals, just so that your name can be known by all, just so that you'll be in a position of light, just so that everybody knows who you are? Why do you want that position so bad? If you really want to be great, if you really want to be a chief, Jesus says, you be like I am, a servant. For the Son of Man came not to what? Be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. Folks, if Jesus hadn't been there and taught that particular lesson on servanthood, His disciples would have been deeply divided over positions in the kingdom, all out of pride and arrogance of heart. All of us are familiar with another man found in Scripture, a man by the name of Diotrephes. John writes about him in 3 John. Oh, Diotrephes was an individual who also loved to be elevated. Notice what the text says. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wow. Can you imagine that? Here is a man in a congregation who is so bold, so arrogant, so full of himself that when an apostle writes to the church, he refuses the letters. John sends individuals to the church, and Diotrephes refuses those individuals. Folks, the pride of Diotrephes caused a conflict between these two men, Diotrephes and John. John says, when I come, I will deal with Diotrephes. Anytime individuals lift themselves up with pride and arrogance, when they are desirous of positions of power, guess what's going to transpire? There's going to be contention. There's going to be strife. There's going to be conflict within those particular groups. We have to be careful not to lift ourselves up with arrogance. It can cause problems in our relationships with others. But let's look at a second conflict. Folks, pride can destroy our relationship with God Himself, can it? When you turn into the book of Proverbs, you see over and over where pride harms man's relationship with God. Look at this first passage, Proverbs 21 verse 4. A high look and a proud heart and the sowing of the wicked is sin. Notice that last word, S-I-N, sin. You see, a lofty look, a proud heart, the Bible says, is sin. And my friends, sin opposes God, doesn't it? You turn back to Proverbs 6, and you read verses 16 and 17. The Bible says this, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. I don't know about you, when I hear a list like that, my ears perk up, don't you? Here are seven things that God hates. Here are seven things that God despises. They're an abomination unto Him. Listen to number one. A proud look. The very first thing on the list of seven things that God hates is a proud look. Let's stop a minute and let's ask ourselves a question. Why is pride sin? Number one, it's sin because it transgresses the Word of God. When you turn to Micah 6 verse 8, we are commanded to be humble individuals. The Bible says that there are three things that the Lord requires of a righteous man, and it is this, to love justice, to love mercy, watch this last one, and to walk humbly with your God. Folks, God wants us to be humble individuals. That arrogant individual is an individual who immediately violates the command of humility. Number two, the Bible tells us that we are not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. It's okay to understand who we are and what we are. It's okay to understand that we have intelligence, that we have abilities, that we have certain things we can do that others may not be able to do. It's all right to understand who you are, but it is a totally different matter to lift yourself up with arrogance and act as if you are something that you are not, to have an overestimate of yourself and your importance. Paul says, for this I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, listen to him, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath given to every man the measure of grace. Folks, God knows exactly who we are and what we are, doesn't He? And who am I to lift myself up as if I am more important, as if I am more powerful, as if I am better than anybody else? in a congregation of the Lord's people especially. Notice too, those Christians are supposed to be trying to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, aren't we? Listen to what Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." If there were ever a humble individual, it was Jesus, wasn't it? Can you imagine being God and condescending to become a man? Can you imagine being an all-spirit being and be willing to give all of that up in order to be clothed with flesh? Can you imagine leaving the heavenly realm where everything is beautiful and perfect and entering into a sinful, evil world? Can you imagine a place where you're never tempted and now you come into a world where Satan is in control, is he not? And you face daily temptation because of the evil one. As a fleshly being, our Lord didn't hurt. He didn't experience pain. And yet He comes into this world and experiences every pain and anguish and negative emotion that you and I can experience as well. He humbled Himself, even to the point that He was willing to die upon the cross of Calvary so that you and I can be forgiven of our transgressions. Folks, that's humility. And that's the kind of thing that you and I ought to be able to do as well. You and I need to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And when we lift ourselves up with pride and arrogance, guess what? We cease walking in His ways. Pride is sin. It transgresses the commands of God. It causes an individual to have an overestimate of himself that Paul condemns. And it causes a person to quit walking in the footsteps of Jesus. As I was thinking about this idea of sin destroying our relationship with God, 2 points came to mind. Did you know that Satan's sin was pride? Satan was a created being. And when God created Satan, Satan was a good angel. Satan was a beautiful angel. Satan was a talented angel. He was an angel that had wonderful capabilities. Who knows? He may have even sat at the pinnacle of all the other angels as the archangel of God. And it was pride that brought him low, wasn't it? In 1 Timothy 3:6, we have a lengthy list of the qualifications of an elder. It's interesting that as Paul gives these qualifications, he says this about an elder: not a novice. And he didn't stop there. He just didn't put a period there and just say, no, he can't be a new Christian. He gives some words of explanation behind that. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Paul gives us indication, doesn't he, that the sin that Satan suffered from was the sin of pride. Folks, it caused him to rail against God. It caused him to rebel against God. It caused him to become an enemy, an antagonist against God, and ultimately he and the other rebellious angels were cast from heaven, reserved in chains of darkness, awaiting the day of judgment. How sad, isn't it? We turn to Ezekiel, the 28th chapter, 12 through 17, and there is a description there of a king. And it is the king of Babylon. It is Nebuchadnezzar himself, but the description is very interesting. The description is in such detail that it reminds us of a historical event that occurred long before Nebuchadnezzar ever came on the scene. The Holy Spirit, the inspired writer, now takes that particular event, that one way back there in history, and places it now upon Nebuchadnezzar because he manifests the same qualities as what transpired long before in history. Verse 17, listen to what he says. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Wouldn't you love to have seen Nebuchadnezzar? A strong, powerful, handsome, strapping man, wasn't he? An individual who had created a marvelous kingdom. An individual who was, at that time, the ruler of the entire world. But yet that power and that influence went completely to his brain, didn't it? And he was lifted up with such arrogance that the Holy Spirit says, you resemble Satan of old. And your heart is lifted up even because of your beauty. Augustine, on one occasion, made this statement. It was pride that changed angels into devils, and it is humility that changes men, or makes men, as angels. What a beautiful contrast, isn't it? Folks, why do we have demons? Why do we have angels who are called devils? It is because of pride and arrogancy. But notice too, I find it interesting that the very first sin, and we talked about this last Tuesday night, the very first sin was caused in part by pride, wasn't it? God had told Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But Satan comes along and he says, oh, God has hidden something from you. God knows that in the day you eat that fruit, you're going to be as gods, knowing good and evil. Can you imagine that? Vic can become a god. I can be just like God if I eat this fruit. No wonder God didn't want me to eat this stuff. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and pleasant to the eyes, now listen to her, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Folks, that wisdom is this, wise as God. She took of the fruit and did eat and gave also to her husband and he did eat. Isn't that amazing? Satan falls from heaven, accursed forever, destined for a devil's hell because of pride. And what does he do? The very first thing he does is appeal to the pride of man in order to get him to fall into sin. Folks, you don't think pride is destructive? And Satan still uses pride against us today, doesn't he? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Satan still uses that avenue today. I know better than God. I've got my opinion about it. I don't care what God says. Folks, that's arrogancy, isn't it? It cost Satan, it cost Adam and Eve, and if we manifest that same attitude, it will cost us in our relationship with God as well. A while ago, we read the verse that said that pride is an abomination unto God. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look. That little word abomination means this, something utterly disgusting and despised. I was trying to think of some things that are utterly disgusting. How about this? Puke. That's pretty disgusting, isn't it? I remember when I was a little kid at school and one kid would puke next to you. Oh. You couldn't wait till they brought in that green stuff and threw it on there. It was disgusting, folks. Maggots. That's pretty disgusting, isn't it? Roaches. You walk into a restaurant and a roach runs across your foot, you're gone. Ain't eating here today. Roadkill. That's pretty disgusting. Go to a restaurant and order food. Take a bite and all of a sudden you see a fly lying there. You're done, aren't you? That's disgusting. I want you to think about it. Well, everybody's already laughing. You already feel the feeling that you get when you have something disgusting set in front of you, don't you? Ugh! Gross! Nasty! You almost get angry, don't you? Folks, that's the feeling that rises and swells up in the very heart of God when a human being lifts himself up with pride and arrogance. Pride is an abomination unto God. Why is it an abomination? Number one, man sets himself over God. That's idolatry, which is condemned in Exodus 20, verse 3. Why? Because man appeals to his wisdom rather than God's wisdom. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, the Bible says in Romans 1, verse 22. Why? Because man thinks he knows better than God. And the Bible says God's foolishness is what? Wiser than man, 1 Corinthians 1, 20. Why is it an abomination unto God? Because man begins to think that he's self-sufficient, that he doesn't need God. Wasn't that where that rich farmer was? Look at all that I've got. What am I going to do with all these riches? I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns. I'll build bigger barns. And then I'll kick back. And I'll eat, drink, and I'll be merry. You see, here's a man who thought, I don't need the Almighty God. We remember what God told him, didn't he? This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast? Folks, listen to me. Pride is the sod in which almost every other sin takes root. Scary, isn't it? When you think about abominations, guess what won't be in heaven? Not one abomination. Revelation 21, 27. And there shall no wise enter into it anything that what? Defileth. Nor whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. If you're on that list of evil things that God hates, that are an abomination unto Him, folks, guess what? You'll not be in heaven. There will not be one arrogant, haughty individual walking the street of gold in the hereafter. Not one. Pride heads the list of things that God hates. And pride is utterly destructive. It's destructive to ourself. It's destructive to our relationship with others. It's destructive especially to our relationship with God. Folks, our desire is that all of us will come to truly understand, appreciate, and practice passages such as Proverbs 16, 19. Listen to what he says. Better is it to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the rich. Folks, it is better to be just a poor, lonely, unknown individual than it is to be rich and wealthy and powerful and filled with arrogance, the Bible says. What is it that keeps so many individuals from obeying the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's pride, isn't it? How about that old atheist who says, I don't believe there is a God? Oh, so you're your own little God. That's basically what he's saying, isn't it? How about that individual who says, I know what God says I should do, but I don't care what he says. I'll do it my way. Arrogance. Folks, it's even arrogant to think like this. I know what I should do, and I'll do it one of these days. Isn't that arrogant? See, what you're saying is this. I know that I will live another day. I know that I have time to make my life right with the Almighty God. Folks, you don't know that. We need individuals today in our world with a little bit of humility, don't we? Who, like those Jews on the day of Pentecost, were willing to ask the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and your children, to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did Peter testify and exhort, say, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Acts 2:37 through 41. 3,000 humble, meek individuals obeyed the truth that day. My friend, do you need to obey the gospel? What's keeping you from it? Is your pride? If you let it, it will eventually destroy your soul. Dear Christian, what's keeping you from coming back to the fold, from being faithful, dedicated? Maybe you need to repent of sin. Ask God to forgive you of that. Maybe there's an obstacle that's in your way hindering you and you need to be able to give that up. Whatever your need is, we want you to come as together we stand and sing.